This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you, Father, because you give bread to us this day. You show us great mercy. You grant unto us great help in the Spirit. Cause us to breakthrough in thought, in understanding, in the name of Jesus. Grant us great mercy. Turn us again in the way of your salvation. In the name of Jesus. Grant us a great mercy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to you, Son of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to look at Psalm 85. Lord, that has been favorable unto thy land. This is David. You remember that was favorable. Also, Isaiah also said that time, the time to favor has come in Isaiah. So here, in the book of Psalm 85, just like Isaiah said, the time to favor has come. So he said, that I favor thy land. And that time to favor has come is Psalm 102, verse 13. The word favor there is to be gracious. Is graciousness. The commandeer of grace. You know that to be gracious, when you say favor, context of favor that have been taught generally among Christendom is you coming to something by God's decision without so much investing something. But this is not the context of this favor. Because when you read the body of this word, favorable. When you say, you have death favorable. And that have been favorable unto thy land. That have been favorable unto thy land. That have brought back the captivity of Jacob. So you also know that this brought back the captivity of Jacob. Psalm also talk about that too. So when the Lord brought back our captivity, we are like them that dream. What led them to the captivity? That they find that one in the book of Psalm 126. So I'm just trying to let you see that this is a powerful Psalm. Psalm 126, when God turned again the captivity of Zion, but we are like them that dream. So yeah, so you can see that this, to turn you from your captivity, to turn you, he used what? When the Lord turn in the book of Psalm 126, when the Lord turn again, because you need to see something here. You see in this psalm, the repeated turn again, again. In the revivals again, you find again, again. Oh Lord. So to turn again in that Psalm 85, that brought back the captivity. So you know that the captivity there is the soul. The soul is the captor. What they capture is the soul. The soul can be captured by lust. The soul can be captured by vanity. The soul can be captured because I'm trying to connect this to what Satan did to the soul. He captured the soul by alternative good. A man can be beguiled, like he said in that book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. From verse 1, I am jealous with you with godly jealousy. I fear less by any means. By any means. You know, if you study the lifestyle of children of Israel, children of Israel are two major kind. of slavery. There are slavery that is called bondage. There's a slavery that is called captivity. When they were in Egypt, they are not in captivity. They were in bondage. You call it house of bondage. That's why when you read prophet, we say, I will deliver you from your bondage and I will free you from your captivity. They're not talking about the same thing. In bondage, they were under hard labor. But when they were in captivity, they build houses, they buy feed. You would think you have liberty. He told them to pray for the peace of the nation that is taking them captivity. I love to have one of the prophets that talk about bondage and captivity. Like Jeremiah 29, that one only talk about captivity. Thus says the Lord of the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away unto captivity, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build the houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives. Begat sons and daughter. Take wife for your sons. That means all to the second generation. You yourself marry and born. And your children will take wife. Take wife for your sons and give your daughter to husbands that they may bear sons and daughter, that you may increase there and not diminish, and see the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof, ye shall have peace. That's Jeremiah 29. So captivity is different from bondage. So to be in captivity is one thing that this wisdom of this world makes men. When a man is free from sin and death, you are under bondage. You're under bondage. When you sin, under sin and death, they are subject to bondage. That which Hebrew and Romans and Galatians. When a man is still under the hold of law of sin and death. Law of sin and death, majorly, is bondage. When you're under sin and death. Because under sin and death, you have hold of the wisdom of men, which are traditions. And then wisdom from demonic activities. Wisdom influences from principality and powers. Actually, principality and power up to a bit of ruler the darkness of this world. That means when you are under bondage, most of the time, you are ignorant. You are ignorant. You find those pictures like what Ephesians chapter 4 was talking about from chapter 17. It was ignorant, which to make you to come to put on the new man. But when a man is becoming Christ, like, for example, what Adam and Eve fell into was not bondage. They came under captivity. They were captivated. They were captivated. When you read Timothy, Timothy categorized ministry of fallen spirit in the last day into two. He calculated doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. If you look at their devils and their spirits, the manner of warfare of soul, the kind of warfare, and doctrines of devils are wisdom. For example, when you see all the seven churches in the book of Revelation, what you are fighting, we are operation of seducing spirits. They are not fighting doctrines of devils. They are fighting seducing spirits because they were carrying warfare from little children of John, 1 John 2, up to fathers. That was their warfare of those seven churches. All those seven churches, they were fighting warfare of servants and warfare of prophets. That means they are fighting warfare that is around the word of God and prophet around testimony and fighting. They were also in the verge of fighting their dragon. And you see all those three operations, servant, say you are given, you have taught my servant to eat food sacrifice to idol, for you have made my prophets to commit fornication. So you use what? Servant and prophet. So you find that in the seven churches, they are servant, they are prophet. I mean, they were people that were handling the word of God and people that were handling testimony of Jesus. Some of them, they've not finished the curriculum of the word of God. They have, some of them have done word of God into a place of living. they've now arrived at abiding that can overcome that wicked one, which is an operation of the devil or Satan, the wicked one. Then some of their warfare, like the warfare of little babies in everlasting life unto little children. Young men warfare, we are the wicked one. Warfare of little children, warfare of newborn babe and little children, we are sin. Because when you read 1 Peter 2, wherefore laying aside all malice, gall, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking as newborn babe, desire the sanctification of God. You see that the warfare of these people, we are the warfare of these babes. These are babes. Malice, all gall, hypocrisy, envy. These are babes that need the meek of the El Shaddai. The El Shaddai, is the training of the father. Is the training of the father. But training of father from baby. Because you remember that the training of the father starts from baby to children in everlasting. When you read the book of Hebrews chapter 12, you see that. Do not forget the exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto children. My son! So he grew them from children to become a son. So there's a training that grew you from little children unto sons. So there's a curriculum training from newborn babe into little children and little children to become a son. Sons in the context of sons of Hebrews 12 are young men of 1 John chapter 2. Those are sons. The father too are sons, but those are kind of sons. How do I know they are sons? When you read 1 John chapter 2, little children, as you have heard, that there are many antichrists will come. Now there are many antichrists. And you see that they use two operations there in that many antichrists. Little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that antichrist shall come, even now there are many antichrists. Antichrist does not come to you. So what you call many antichrists, antichrist, you know, what before children, little newborn babe and little children, are antichrist. Now there are many antichrist. What they call many antichrist, little children. What they call many antichrist are things that are plaguing men that are becoming Christ. Because what Satan sent against newborn babes and little children are antichrist operation. Now there are many antichrist. Wherefore we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they are of us, they will no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made, that may be made manifest that they were not all. I think something about them is not yet all into this thing. But part of them have gone through redemption. Wow. But there's this part of them that is not yet all. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they are being of us, they will know that I've continued with us. They went out that they may be made manifest that they were not all of us. That is, they were partly. They were not fully. Everything about their soul involved in handling the thing is not fully. Something about Israel is that Israel, their heart is not always with God. You see that they kept on going to captivity. In fact, when you study the book of Judges, they don't go to house of bondage, they go to captivity. God always sent them to captivity. Israel went to captivity, but many times, but they only went to bondage once. Because why did I say that? Because how you'd free a people from bondage is by teaching them the law. By the time they came from house of bondage, they went into wilderness where God downloaded the law for them. But that was not only what God gave to them. God gave them the law as a schoolmaster to prepare them unto Christ. And what was Christ in the Old Testament? Christ are prophets, which agree with what God said. Touch me not my anointed are my Christ, and do my prophet no harm. God brought them from the wilderness and downloaded the law. Intention of God for the children of Israel is that they will come to learn spirit life like prophets. That they will come under subjection. That they will not only free their body from out of bondage, but that heaven will really be able to free them from all that law that's in them. Because they physically freed them from physical out of bondage, but they couldn't free them from what have held them down on the inside. Because though Christ has not come. The law of sin and death was still at work in human being at that time. All our sin and fall short of God's glory. So God gave them the law. God kept them in the wilderness for another 40 years so he can free them from not just the bondage of Egyptian, to free them from the bondage of sin and death so that they will not return back to that thing. And God took them to the land. The provision of the land is to free them from captivities, because different things have captured their mind. So when you hear the doctrine of the devils, you are majorly talking about the things, the devils, and seducing spirits. You know that when you mention spirits, spirits are more volatile than devils. And you say something, if someone is a devils, devil is a very big umbrella. But when you mention spirits, you are talking about high, wicked spirits. A demon can be a devil. Yes, sir. A woman can be a devil. Like Joka said, one of you is a devil. To be a devil can even mean simply that you have a kind of thought. Thought can make you to be a devil. Also, you can be a devil by the reason of a kind of wisdom that's at work inside of you. James. For the wisdom is from beneath. Is firstly carnal or earthly, sensual and devilish. You see the way they were declining. Sensual to devilish. I mean, when the mind is ruled by senses. But for it to be ruled by senses, it's not that that senses is highly plucked into something. A sensual human being is connected to something. When you see a man that is sensual, it's not natural. It's not natural. Senses is sensual. It's sensual. It's sensual. Being sensual means that that thing is connected to perverted, developed soul. To be sensual is a soul, carnally so developed. Even a soul has been carnal, and the vacuity of the soul, which even your natural vacuity is now deriving inspiration from it. A man's eyes may be sensual, because the body is highly connected to a soul that have been made so carnal. So, and the carnal soul is a training of a wisdom, of a knowledge. Just like spiritual knowledge can train a soul can also be trained with fallen knowledge. So you can see that a soul can be trained by unrighteousness. Yes, sir. When you train a soul with unrighteousness, a soul can become sensual. When they say sensual, Romans 6, we call that thing that a soul becomes sensual. We call it because of the infirmity. There are infirmities. They are infirmity of your flesh. But he used that word, your flesh there. He called it because as you have yielded your member, servant. So sensual there. He called it flesh. But flesh there is not just outward member. It's your inward member. You have yielded a servant of unrighteousness to iniquity unto iniquity. That's how people become sensual. When you use your soul faculty to do unrighteousness, you do it to do uncleanness, that soul becomes carnal. So another word for be carnal means to be carnally minded. Carnally minded. Carnally minded is to be sensual. Jude was talking about there. He says some people, they are sensual, having not the spirit. Having not the spirit there, it that means these be they would separate themselves, sensual, having not the spirit. When you look about the spirit there, it's not just talking about spirit as Holy Ghost. There, this spirit there means that they have not been trained by the law of the spirit of life. Because the law of the spirit of life can either be the law of the spirit of life in Christ or the law of the spirit of life in God. Romans 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. It's about law. So if a man is not subject to the law of God, he's subject to the law of sin and death, and eventually not subject to the law of evil spirits, law of fallen spirits. Neither indeed can be. So then that are of the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God, what they call the spirit of God there, is not talking about Holy Ghost. It's the law of God. The spirit of God is verse 7. He called it, are not subject to the law of God. So what they call the Spirit of God there is the law of God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Period. S there is capital. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ. So what you call the Spirit of Christ there is the law of Christ. Or the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Because the Spirit of Christ is the law of Christ in him. The Spirit of God is the law of God on the inside of God. Jude. This be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. So, yeah, you see that they are not having the Spirit of Christ. And they are not having the Spirit of God. Yeah. And the Spirit in context, I mean, they don't have the law. Having not the Spirit. These souls lack the Spirit of Christ. And they lack the Spirit of God. Spirit of Christ is the law of Christ. Spirit of God there is the law of God. So because of that, they are not sensual. So a man can move from being sensual, he can move to be devilish. He can become more devilish. That I'm referencing to Jude. Because if a man has the Spirit will restrain him. The Spirit, that's the way of constraining you. It will constrain you. So, and he connected being earthly, being sensual, being devilish to instrumentality of wisdom that is from beneath. That means what will make a man to be earthly, what will make a soul to be sensual, what will make a soul to be devilish, according to James chapter 3, is a wisdom that descended from beneath. That when wisdom that descends from beneath, train a soul, develop a soul, depending on the depths of the pit that wisdom came out from. If it is the lower part of the pit, it will make it to be earthly. The cause of this war that are arranged in an ascending order in the air, principality, power, without the darkness of this war, spiritual and the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. Because I'm trying to say that devils are lower than spirits. The spirit that walk in tune of disobedience. That array, I said, all of them from principality to spiritual wickedness and places, they are all cause of this war. And I said, they are wisdom. They are wisdom. They teach wisdom. And the wisdom that they teach is to conform and say, and be not be conformed to this war, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if they have impact on the mind, they can have impact on the heart also. They have impact on the mind, the heart, and the conscience. And eventually, they have impact on the members of your mind. The members of your mind is imagination, your imagination. The thought of your mind, they have impact. They fashion them, they shape them. So a man can be a Christian for 40 years, but you have not dealt with those works. Because and those works does not look as if you are under bondage. You can still build, you can still marry, you can still plant feed, you can still marry wife, you can still build houses, but you are under captivity. You have not been torn. God have not been favorable with you, gracious with you, to free you from your captivity. Because it's not obvious that the bondage of demonic influence. When a man is under demonic influence, after a while, if you sit down at church of little light or scripture, you can see that something is doing me. That isn't there some demonic spirit troubling me? Demonic. But when a man is under devils, which are high wisdom, which are wisdom cadres, you are laughing against those who are telling you that you are under bondage. You are under the bondage of sin and death, you don't know. You are under the captivities of spiritual wickedness in high places, and rule of the darkness of this world, and you're under the influence of the prince of the power of the air, and you are laughing that these people are just making things up. Because you can't see those works. Those works are hidden works that it will take hidden wisdom of God. You must learn hidden wisdom of God for you to realize that something is really doing you. You only be justifying your things, and you look at men that try to shine light on you and say they are extremists. You say they are overstretching the Bible. Because when you are in bondage, you can still build houses. When you are in bondage, you can still plant vineyard. When you are in captivity, you can still build houses, you can still plant vineyard, you can still marry, you can born, you can pray. You can pray for the peace of the land you are. And you will prosper therein. But your soul is not prospering. Prosperity natural can be with you. You are using the name of God to prosper, but you are still under the bondage of sin and death, and you are still bound in your soul. And you are still under captivity. And there's nothing I can take captivity from you except the time to favor you have come. Favor of God to you, dear, is not for them to favor Zion. People that have the law of God, they still need to be favored of God and be gracious to them. That's what you see. So when God turned away our captivity, we are living a dream. Because formerly, you think you are fine. Because they were in Babylon. He said, at the river of Babylon, then those who captured us, we should play for them our song in the land. You can be in captivity and you are singing the song of the land. They don't want to sing the song. The song that we used to worship is a song of worship. They don't want to sing it in the land. They are not coercing. They just say, we sing it. The land, you sing, you sing your temple. You are singing it in this land now. Say, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat. They were not in chain. Yea, we wept. When we remember Zion, you can be in Babylon, you don't remember Zion. Because you can buy land, you can eat, you can do everything. You can marry your children. You are doing your mugwa for your children. But your soul is still in the strange land. You are not ready for heavenly conversation. Your soul is not ready to go to heaven. You are still earthly. And you are sensual. We wept when we remember Zion. But they have dwelt many years there, enjoying Zabab. We hang our harps upon willows in the midst thereof. For they that carry us away cattle require of us a song. They that waste error require of us men, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song? They are asking for the Lord's song. You know, to say the Lord's song means they are asking for songs in what? Songs that you sing in the season of ingathering. And what opened the ingathering is the Feast of Trumpets or Siva. And Feast of Trumpets or Siva is teaching of Christ. It's the nation that is in Christ. That now move into atonement, which is the ministry of the high priest. They start with Feast of the Trumpet for 7 days, which had to do with Christ's teaching. Then you dovetail it to where the high priest will appear, which is the atonement. Then you move into the Feast of the Booths. 7, 7, 7. 7 days for the Feast of the Trumpet, blowing trumpet of silver for 7 days. Leviticus 23, 24, 25. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath. On the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath. That means 7 days. When is a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. I mean, for a Sabbath, I mean, it's a feast of trumpets, but it's going to be 7 days of blowing trumpets. You shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, an holy convocation. You shall do no sci-fi word therein, those 7 days of blowing trumpets. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Also on the 10th day of this month, so they will start blowing trumpets for the 7th day. Eh? And blow you for what? For 7 days. From the first day to the seventh month. The after 7 day, for 3 days. 8, 9, and 10th. On the 10th day, what shall happen? They shall be also on the 10th day of the 7th month. It shall be a day of atonement. That's the day the high priest appear. The high priest will go into the holy place. He will appear in the holy place. And from the holy place, he will go to the most holy place. He will come out from the most holy place, come to the sanctuary to come and consecrate all the article of what's why he come out with the holy place and now go out into the court. He will minister. Then he will go out to go and minister to the people. First of all, he ministered, he moved from the sanctuary, is the ministration of the Son of God. From the holy place into the most holy, he's ministering from most holy into the sanctuary. And now he will go down into the outer court and minister to the people. He will go and bring out remission of sin for the people. So that's what the Day of Atonement stands for. And the Day of Atonement was what Daniel was talking about in Daniel 9. to finish transgression and iniquity, to bring and to make an end of sin, and to reconcile iniquity. Look at it. To bring in everlasting righteousness, to see the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. These are the things that high priest does in the day of atonement. He go to anoint the most holy, the ark, which he call in this Daniel 7, he call it the Messiah, the Prince. It's the ministry of the Messiah, the Prince, which is the ministry of the high priest of Jesus. They call it the great day of atonement. So it is after that, that great day of atonement, it shall be an holy confession to the Lord. Ye shall afflict your soul. So the day of atonement is affliction of the soul. You know, it can be so boring. 7 days, or just bring it up here. Then after that, you wait for 3 days, where you are going to be eating unleavened bread, which is the bread of affliction. Bread that has no yeast, to cause bitterness of soul. Because they want to finish iniquity. Things that make you to break law, they finish it. They want to make an end of sin. And they want to reconcile things that make you to behave lawlessly. Without, as a man that doesn't have law, or walk with iniquity, or walk wickedness. Things that will not make a man to do the will of God and finish it. They want to reconcile it. And an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Then the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day. So they will, after they have done the atonement on the 10th day, they will keep on from the first day night until they started eating unleavened bread from the 8th day. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So on the 14th day will be the what? Will be another 7 day. Then on the 15th day, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the feast of the tabernacle. And I was done, they call the feet of the boots. Everybody will come out from their houses. You go to an open part of your house. You go and cut out branches of trees and make a shade. And you're going to dwell inside that place for 7 days. Nobody will live inside a roof houses. Speak on the children of Israel, saying, the 5th days of the 7th month shall be the day of tabernacle for 7 days unto the Lord. On the 1st day shall be an holy conversation. You shall do no survival work. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be an holy conversation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It shall be a solemn assembly. You shall do it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which I proclaim to be holy convocation. To offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, drink offering, every one of you upon his day. 29 say, also in the 15th day of the month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the 1st day the buff of gully trees, branches of palm trees, and the buff or thick trees, and willows of the brooks, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in the booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in the booths. That your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in the booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. All these physical ritual the children of Israel did, they had their spiritual connotation. That to deal with devils, when a man is dealing with devils, you are dealing with doctrines. And when you are dealing with doctrine, you are dealing with lines. And when you are dealing with lines, you are dealing with laws and ways, thought and nature. Because doctrines are lines. Doctrines are not presets. But if they are lines, they are wisdom. They are building. They are formation. They are fashioning. That's what we're doing. So when he's talking about doctrines of the devils and seducing spirit. So what he called many antichrist in that John that we're reading, 1 John 2. Now there are many antichrists, whereby you know that this last day, They went from us that they are not of us, and if they have been of us, they will know that they have continued with us, but they went out that they may be made manifest that they were not all of us. I was talking about when all is not of him. Then, who is a liar? He that denied that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist. Who is a liar? But he that denied that Jesus is the Christ is a question. Who is a liar? A liar is an Antichrist that denied the Father and the Son. That denied the Father and the Son. Whosoever denied the Son, the Son had not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son had the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. So what is it that is abiding them? Is the word of God. When the church have not arrived at the abiding word, like a right to young men in that John, because this is 1 John 2. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. I've written unto you because you have overcome the wicked one. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So the wicked one here is an operation of an antichrist. That they need to abide. What they have heard from the beginning abided in them, the word of God. They are done to the incorruptible seed of God's word. They were done to the word that made them strong. They end up to the bread and the water that make them strong. And they become strong and he abide them in them. I like to do young men because you are strong. And the word of God abideth in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. It was an antichrist thing that they became. So this is verse 14. If the water of heaven begins, shall abide in you. So when he said you overcome the wicked one, a wicked one is their wisdom. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. He that which have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. You also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Give me 25, 26. And this is the promise that he has promised us even eternal life. This I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. First Timothy. So these young men have arrived at them. What they hear is abiding in them. But they need to continue.
Yes, sir.
Because there's another operation that is coming.
Yes.
What they have overcame is the devils. They overcame the wisdom of the devils. But they need to continue. What about they need to continue in the Son and in the Father? There are still things in the Son and the Father need to assess. Because they have just an overcomer by the word of God. Some of them have overcome by the word of God. Some of them, then, they have only overcome, like he started called the little children. So, little children, he said, I like you unto little children. Because your sin are forgiven you for his name's sake. Then, I write unto little children because you have known the Father. So, there are two seasons in little children. The student that their sins are forgiven them are the one that use sincere milk of the word and grew out of sin. Can you see? What made their sin to be forgiven? They use the milk of sincere milk of the word and grew thereby. Wherefore, lay aside all malice. These are the sin or newborn babe. Or the first set of little children, and all God, and hypocrisy, and envies, and all evil speaking. Somebody say, why did I call the newborn babe as little children? Newborn babe are little children. They are still little God. You cannot assess most holy, except you are converted unto this little one. Shall I know we enter?
Yes, sir.
So the company of those who enter the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, are all little children. Everybody in the most holy are all little children. They are all lambs. You might be a lamb. But they can be a lamb that still has spots. So lamb that has spots are newborn babe. That has spots of all malice. or guard, or hypocrisy, or envy, and evil speaking. That they will need sincere milking as newborn babe, desire sincere milk of the world, that you might grow there, but they grew out of this pot of the children. But there are some people that were not able to grow out of that spot. Jude spoke about them. James spoke about them. They are in the feast of charity. Their garment is, because all those things are still flesh. They are still spot. They have been washed. Ephesians 5. When I talk about sin, spot, you must see them as wisdom. You must see them as wise. Philosophy, ideology, vain deceit. These things are wisdom that are woven. They weave nature in us. Ephesians 5 from verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. This is Colossians 1 from verse 11. Strength with all might, according to the his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father. So this is Colossians 11. Giving thanks always for all things. In this Ephesians 5, 20. Unto God and the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting, I'm trying to shine light on scriptures.
Yes, sir.
Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. This church, by now, they have learned everything about Christ. They are in the scene of God. Because, as at chapter 4,
yes,
sir. Amen?
Amen.
They learned the curriculum of the new man, put on the new man, created in knowledge and righteousness. And they are in Christ and transiting from Christ into the season of God. Then Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 say, from verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Can you see dear children there?
Mm-hmm.
Dear children there, I mean little children. Those who are little children that are being born as newborn babe into the sin of God.
Yes, sir.
So that was continued. Was that be, so from chapter 5, they are building the things of most holy. They are strengthening your journey from Christ, that transiting time. They are strengthening it as we are receiving the ministry of high priest gradually from the sanctuary. Because high priest minister from the sanctuary into the most holy. So they are opening them to the ministry of the Son of God, the high priest, Jesus Christ. The beginning of the ministry of high priest. That's what they are ministering, moving into. Towards the end of chapter 4 of Ephesians 4. And all try to do something that will lead them fully. Giving thanks always for all things. So they are the word of all things of God, unto God and the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Wife. So this is the season of God. Wife, submit yourself unto your own husband. As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. So this is the season of salvation. Savior. They want to save wife. They want to save husband. It's a season where you are having an encounter with savior. And you know, savior arrives in Zion. For the Savior shall come to Zion. This is Obadiah, but there's another one in Romans. That the Savior. The Savior there is the Lord's about. Who he called deliverer. Romans 11:26. I love the word Obadiah, but there's a way he quotes here this scripture, not from Obadiah. This is from Hosea. And also all Israel shall be saved, as it's written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer. So there is deliverer that will raise deliverers. So I'm looking about, let me look for the prophet. Use what Savior, there is what the Savior shall come and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So here is the deliverer. There are saviors, which are many salvation, heirs of the kingdom. But the first thing that will come, the deliverer shall come. Deliverer contest here is the high priest shall come to Zion. He will come to the sanctuary. The deliverer is the messenger of the Lord. Or the messenger of the Lord of hosts that will come send to the sanctuary, to the temple. So he is the deliverer, or is the savior. The savior shall come to Zion. Shall come to Zion. So he is the one coming from most holy. So that's the deliverer there. So he called it deliverer in Romans 11. But one of the prophets called it the Savior. It's one. It's not saviors. So, but the Savior shall come on Mount Zion. Or deliverer shall come to Mount Zion. So that Zion there is the sanctuary. Because Zion there are stones of fires. they are the sanctuary that he will come. So when he comes there to come and take away ungodliness or transgression, he will come. He's the messenger of the Lord. I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. The Lord, whom you see, shall suddenly come. He's the messenger. He's the Lord coming. The Lord there is the deliverer, the savior, coming to Zion to come and take ungodliness. That was ungodliness from Jacob. It was rendered in Hosea as transgression. That means where they are still breaking laws. Because transgression, I was talking about transgression last week, about building again what they are trying to destroy. Or destroying what everyone is building in you. That one that transgression, where you say, which I take away ungodliness from Jacob. That's how Romans render it. But when you look at the prophet, call it transgression. So what he called ungodliness is transgression. As I was saying, so another word that he used for them, he called them the redeemer. He used the word deliverer. The word redeemer is a very big word. Redemption is a big word. Redemption means deliverance. Redemption means salvation. Redemption means reconciliation. When you check the root word redemption, it means restoration. So in Isaiah 59:20, say, the redeemer shall come to Zion. Comma. But not only to Zion will he come to. There are people in Zion that are waiting for him. Now I said the coming of the Redeemer, I say it's the coming of the high priest from the most holy place. In the day of when he's carrying out program of atonement. But not only to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression. So you see the school company. Then that turn from transgression. So, to turn from transgression means those who have stopped breaking laws. In Jacob. So there are two companies of people. There are company of Zion and there are company of Jacob. You know, Jacob is different from Israel. Jacob is a man that have not turned. A man that has not been turned. So Zion are those who already are Christ. And they are even moved further. They have perfected their Christ company. They have sent the spirit of the Son into their heart. They are crying for them to be born. Then also, and unto them that turn from transgression, I mean, those these are turned from transgression, these people are already obeying the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Zion are higher than the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When you are a Zion that the Redeemer can come for, a Zion that the Son of God can come for, that you are Christ does not automatically mean that the high priest will come for you. Before Christ can come for you, you must have done something. That's what I'm trying to teach. You are not just a being that is in charity. You are a being that are doing fervent charity. And you are going through the activity that they can purify. That's why when the deliverer come, he will produce two set of people. He will produce silver. He produce gold. He will produce silver. He will produce gold. From Zion, he will produce gold out of them. From Jacob that has gone on transgression, he will produce silver out of them. So there are two classes of people that the high priest, the deliverer, the savior, come from. Men that turn away from transgression are men that are free from bondage or sin and death. But for you to be a Zionist, means you are already Christ, but there is a conversation you must do. After you have done charity, you must do fervent charity for you to become elect of God. Or for you to become a lively stone. You are lively. You are beginning to become living. Or Malachi render it this way. That Malachi 3 say, he said, behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. The law, whom you seek. Another company, another word for these people is the law whom you seek.
they are seeker of the Lord. It takes Christ to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord where he might be found. Call upon him while he is near. The Lord there is not Christ. The Lord there is the Son of God. The Lord there is the deliverer. The Lord there is the Savior. The Lord there is the messenger of the Lord. The Lord there is the high priest. Which Psalm 24, 6 says, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. So they call that Lord in that Ezekiel, in that Isaiah chapter, they call it the King of Glory. So another word for the Redeemer, the High Priest, the Savior, the Deliverer, is the King of Glory. Like God came with his throne into the sanctuary day of Isaiah, he will also come. So the company of people will come for are the Zionists, those who are seeking him. The condition of Zion, the Zionists are there that are not at ease in Zion. Yes, they are seekers. And you cannot be a seeker of the Lord, the messenger. You cannot be a seeker to call, to bring the law. But when they are the one calling for the Lord, the Lord will come for them. So they have the first appointment of the Lord is to them. And they will come and purify them to become gold. But they are also the coming of those who are in the sanctuary that they have not arrived at that way.
Yes, sir.
You have two ministry. He will purge and purify. It's a refiner fire and it's a purifier. He shall see it as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi. When you look at it. Who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appears? For it's like a refiner fire and like a fuller soul. So he showed that he has two comma and he has two things. He has two appearances. He has two manner of coming when he comes to the sanctuary. Two manner of coming in the sanctuary. He come as a refiner. He come as a fuller soap. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, comma. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold, as silver. So you can see that. Can you see these two dimensions? So when you get to the sanctuary is host to two manner of men in the day of the appearance of the deliverer.
Okay, okay, okay.
The sanctuary is hosting two men, kind of men. Men that have fulfilled their cause in the sanctuary and are calling for the appearance of the deliverer.
Yes.
When I say finish their cause, they are finished their cause of them being free from bondage.
Yeah.
Where they should end bond, because Christ has made us free. Galatians. Make us free. Galatians 5. Look at it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Because what I'm teaching is that the cause of this world can either put you in bondage, and the cause of the world can either put you in captivity. Like what happened to Adam and what? And Eve and all the sons of God in Genesis. What they came into was captivity. One bondage. It took time for men to move into bondage. When man began to declare, man came into bondage. Man didn't move into straight to bondage. What had Adam and Eve were not bondage of sin and death. What they came into, they came under the bondage of hell and death. It was air that moved them. Activity that they came against was seducing. That was I started teaching. He said, I'm jealous with you with godly jealousy. 2 Corinthians 11. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have bestowed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest my enemies, as the serpent beguile, that will beguile me, seduce Eve through his subtlety. So your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. This be church already in Christ. This is 2 Corinthians. They have learned Christ. But something can come and beguile Christ. And that's why every Christ need deliverer. He need the messenger to come. Because there's something this messenger should bring. Because what is the temptation of every man that have accepted the simplicity in Christ? What's the simplicity of Christ? A man that made that have arranged life of charity. Simplicity in Christ is life of charity.
Yes, sir.
Because when you see a man of charity, that the first set of them really mentioned them, charity envy not. Seeketh not his own. He says so. That was simplicity of the gospel, it's not that I've been free.
Yes,
that was simple. It's not that it's foolish. You have learned the wisdom called Christ and have enjoyed the power called Christ. You have been torn. You have been made free from entanglement. That entanglement, Peter called it pollution that is in the world through lust. And that pollution through lust are wisdom of principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Those three arrangements. You know, a man learn uncleanness unto ungodliness. Uncleanness unto ungodliness. Then you move into the world of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is ire. Unrighteousness and wickedness are zone of, it's what they call iniquity. Unrighteousness and ungodliness. When something is unright, those are inequality, iniquity, inequity. But a man can be free from the entanglement of this war. You can be free from entanglement. And you have accessed liberty. Liberty means freedom. But you can be entangled again, which was what Peter said. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. You compare the 2 Peter 2 with Galatians 5. So what they make us free from, he called it yoke of bondage. So everybody were in the house of bondage. This one is a house of bondage. Because but Peter called that bondage pollution of the world through lust. Then he called that pollution of the world, he called it the pollution that's in the world through lust. 2 Peter 2:20. Escape the pollution of the world. Because in the world, you have uncleanness, ungodliness in the world. Those are the first layers. When you hear ungodliness, uncleanness, unrighteousness, they are wisdom. They are wisdoms of men. Traditions of men. Tradition of men. And rudiment. They are rudiment. But if they are rudiment, rudiment means basics.
Yes, sir.
But if they are rudiment of the world, they are also advanced. So rudiment of the world is what they call bondage. But when it's advanced in the world, the cause of the world is not just one thing. The cause of the world has its rudiment and has its advanced causes. So the first arrangement of it is what they call bondage of the world. And so that what happened, they brought for pollution. It's pollution. Giving thanks unto always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Wife, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior. What I will talk about that. Christ is the Savior. When Christ becomes a Savior, first of all, Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Don't forget. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wife as Christ also loved the church. Take note of what they first of all raised. Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. So also wife,
yes, sir,
to be subject to their husband, for the husband
in everything. So that was, there was first a first commandment. They move into something. Therefore, as Christ is subject unto the church, so let every wife be subject to their own husband in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. So Christ is not just a head of the church and savior of the body. For Christ also loved the church and gave himself, comma. The first night, he loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might sanctify and cleanse. Can you see that?
Yes,
but that's not the only thing. That he might present it to himself. A glorious church, not having spot. You can be washed, but you still have spots. So some brethren were washed, but they were brethren that were washed, but they have not taken away their spots. So all these things that little newborn babe, little children, what was tend to address little children were spots. So they were spots, spots, spots. You can't let your garment be spotted with the flesh. They have garments, but their garments are spotted with the flesh. Look at Jews. Others say with fear, pulling them out of fire. 18 even the garments spotted by the flesh. So you use what? Garments spotted by the wall. Spotted garment by the flesh. So the flesh there is this wall. Because I told you, I said there's a cause of the wall. So one of the warfare that they must deal with is a two warfare they do with in the sanctuary. They will deal with the warfare of flesh. And we deal with the warfare. At least, heaven will make sure that the warfare of flesh in you before you enter most holy place. Because no flesh can glory in presence. But that they deal with flesh does not mean that you don't have spots. You may either have the spot of flesh or you have the spot of the war. Spot of flesh. So that's between little children who are newborn babe. So as I say, little children have two seasons. But when the high priest, the savior, the deliverer come, he will deal with flesh in every Christ. He will deal with every flesh. You can be a man of charity. That's one of the essence of charity. Charity is to inspire your flesh. Father charity is to inspire your flesh. So that you can be qualified to be newborn babe. Newborn babe have this war in them, which is thing they will start dealing with you in the most holy. This war move from without the camp into most holy. Because they call Satan the god of this war, the prince of this war. The prince of this war coming. So the prince of this war. So the war stretches into most holy. But when you see his writing, John, you see, they start dealing with this war. This war, because this war move from without the camp, all to most holy. They start dealing with this war, this war, this war, this war. They call you, Titus call uncleanness, call it worldly lust. That's what Titus 2 call it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 call it, touch not the unclean thing. That he might sanctify and washed by the washing of the water by the wall. Can you see it? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So Christ is water and spirit. But after they have washed it by the water of the wall, that's not just the, that he might cleanse, sanctify and cleanse, but that's not that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. So when he's praying to himself, there's something we do. Not having spots or wrinkle or any of such things but that it should be holy and without blemish. So that's the work of the atonement. That's the work of the high priest. That's the work of the deliverer. So Christ as the Son of God can bring for washing, sanctification, and cleansing. But much more, he will present something to himself. So when he comes into this, when he comes to the sanctuary, he shall present desire to himself.
so that it can address their spots. Spots, he said, we cleanse them. In Malachi, he called it spots. Rinku. When a woman has rinku, rinku is age. You might take away spots from a man, but it's still rinku. You can have spots. They have cleanser. They can. You can be washed. Every lady wash themselves with water. But water cannot take away. Water cannot take away spots. For you to take away spots, they use facial scrub. After they use face lotion, they use facial scrub to take away spots. After they are taking away spots, sometimes they have wrinkle. To cause wrinkle to straighten. Sometimes they use some cream, they say straighten to strengthen wrinkle. Wrinkle me, something may not, something may be clean. But it's clean. Your clothes, you can wash it, but you can still be wrinkle.
Yes, sir.
You iron it. Those are details that the Son of God does to sow. The sow is not only corrupted, the sow has been wrinkled. Because sow is a worker.
Yes,
it's old. You find wrinkle in the more people age. We have age in sin. So sin of so you can cleanse a soul, wash him, deliver him from the bondage, but it can still be wrinkled. Some impact of sin and death, hell and death of our soul. They need to take those things away. That is why the ministry and what you call sport, don't think that sport is not fornication. Sport is a working of wisdom or spiritual wickedness in high places. Sport are ways inside men. Sport are ways. He calls some people, he say, they are brethren, he said they are sports in your feast of charity. They are sports in your feast of charity. They are sports in your feast of charity. In Jude. These are sports in the feast of charity. So, you know, for you to be the men that are doing charity life, perfect charity life, but some people are not doing it well. That's what I say. One of the things that perfect charity will do, you will take away your sports.
If you do it.
You should not be in the feast of charity. When you are in the feast of charity and you are still keeping your sports. Or leaven. That's another one for sports. You are still keeping your leaven. You should let God. And those leaven are wisdom. Because he told the Pharisee, beware of the leaven of the Pharisee.
Yes.
I say, what's that level? He said, their doctrine. Their leaven is their doctrine. Matthew 16:12. Then stood they out that he bid them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisee and of the Sadducee. So when you hear the word leaven, the leaven there are doctrine. What are doctrine? Lines. What are lines? Ways. Thoughts. Judgments. So when you hear sports, what are judgments? Some of your judgments, some of your conclusion about your brother. And those conclusions are wisdom of evil spirit. So one time, why do you speak evil of your own self? You know, James warned us that. He said, for the judge, stand at the door. Speak no evil of one another. Judge not evil of another. James, one of that. Speak not evil, my brethren. Don't be evil of judge. Don't be judge of evil things. And speak not evil. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. Evil speaking. Brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. These are law of God. Charity. Fervent charity law. If thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save. This is the sin of salvation. And to destroy. Who are thou that judgeth another? So, in that place, he said, the judge stand at the door. Judge no man. God, so you do not judge one another. Do not speak evil of one another. When he was looking, that's chapter 4. Look at chapter 5. Grudge not one another. Brethren, let you be condemned. Behold, the just stand there before the door. What is the door? Either the door, he stand there before the door. That means he want to take everybody in. So he's looking at the conversation. If you are still speaking evil of one another, if you are still grudging one another, he won't take you. He can still see that you have spot.
You won't be taking him. Those are conversations in the day. You will say, ah, this man still have things of captivity inside of him. He still having his counting of bondage on him. He still have wisdom. He used to grudge one another. In chapter 5, in chapter 4, he says, judge one, he speak no evil of another, and judge no one another. Those are conversations of people that are waiting for deliverer, that deliverer is working on them. Those are the things that you want to put us from. When we judge one another, when we grudge one another, or grudge one another, you make your brother angry. You cast a stumbling block on your brother. You bring offense to your brother. All those things. God must make up where we are without offense. We must be very sensitive to the spirit where we don't cause offense. You don't grieve. You don't grudge. Grudge. What is grudge? When you say, I'm keeping grudge, I'm keeping ill feeling towards one another. Ill feeling. If you have a hurt against your brother, go and talk about him. If your brother got a hurt against you, don't make sacrifice of food. Go and reconcile with your brother. Grudge not one another. For the judge, speak no evil, grudge not one another. Stand dead at the door. These are things that will make us good. Can you see? These are good. These are things that will make us good. Those are things that they want to get rid from us. So that we can be good. Good soul. Like our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. See you next time again.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeo Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostuchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.